We're going to read one verse this morning. That's verse 24. And as our custom is, when we have one verse that we read, I'll read through the first time aloud. You'll read along silently. And then we'll read together the second time through together. Matthew 6:24, please. As you're finding your place there, Matthew 6:24, would you honor the Word of God by standing to your feet if you're able this morning, of course. And let's read this passage together. I will first read through aloud, you silently. Verse 24 of chapter 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now let's read together, please. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And as we continue in this passage, God, give our pastor your strength and your power. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit this morning to help us to hear what you have for us. God, use the message today to make us better Christians. Help us not just to be hearers today, but doers of what is preached from thy word today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would get that settled today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated again, we'll ask that you turn your cell phones off, etc., and your mechanical devices of whatever kind you have, so we can have a few minutes of peace and quiet around the Word of God this morning. We'd appreciate that. Right in the middle of the greatest sermon ever preached, what's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right in the center of that, Jesus makes three statements that are tremendous analogies that we clearly understand. The analogy here at verse 19 and 20 and 21 is the analogy of your treasure. And he ends the analogy about treasure saying in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The second analogy is in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single. And last week we preached and talked to you about having singleness of eye. Seeing things just one way. And that one way is God's way, by the way. Then when you get to verse number 24, he uses the analogy of master and slave. No man. I want you to look at the verse with me carefully, please. It says, "For no man can serve two masters." See, in Jesus' day, a third of the world's population was a slave to the Roman government. So one out of every three people you saw was owned by somebody. The Romans, they used slavery not only to build their empire and their road systems and all the things that they did, but the Romans used slavery by every country they would conquer. They would enslave the people. So the master, and notice he talks about being no man can serve two masters. He said, you'll either serve one or you'll serve the other one. You'll love one or you'll love the other one. You'll hold to one or you'll despise the other. Some way, he's using an analogy everybody understood in those days, the master-slave relationship. And I've used this verse 24, many times in my thinking, and I always thought he was trying to tell them to choose which master they wanted to have. When in truth, I believe what Jesus is trying to get across is this truth also. You cannot serve two at one time. Look at verse 24 one more time. No man can serve two masters. Have you ever heard the expression, you can't have it both ways? In the Old Testament, remember Elijah, the great prophet? Israel has turned its back on God. They're worshiping every kind of heathen idol you could possibly imagine. They have a wicked king and a wicked queen in their leadership. And Elijah gets everybody up on Mount Carmel for a big event. And Elijah says, let's have a contest. He says, I'm going to call on the God of heaven and you're going to call on your God. The God that proves himself by fire. Let that be the God of this nation. So he let the prophets of Baal get up and have their ecumenical service. 450 of the prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the grove, 850 reverends. They built themselves an altar, put a sacrifice on top of it, but no fire. And Elijah said, let's do it. You guys call on your God, and if he answers by fire, then he's the real God. And they danced around that golden calf. They got the worship team working. I mean, they got the whole thing going. They were rocking and rolling. I guarantee you they had the Pentecostal antennas up. I mean, everything was working. And they went all day long, and after a while with no fire, and they were crying, oh, hear us, Baal, oh, hear us, Baal. Nothing happened, so then they just kind of raised the worship service a little bit, and they take sharp knives and they cut themselves where the blood just flowed on their bodies, and they were screaming until they could hear no more. Their voice was gone. And Elijah was over there being very sympathetic. He said, maybe he's asleep. Yell a little louder. Maybe he's out hunting. Maybe he's not listening to you. And he mocked him. And after about about all day long, this goes on. Oh, hear us, Baal. Oh, hear us, Baal. Oh, hear us, Baal. Hey, look at me. Heathen worship is always just repetition. Huh? Just a bunch of repetition. Now, I don't care whether they bring it in the church or not. It's still heathen. But then after a while, here's what happens. About the time of the afternoon or evening sacrifice, Elijah says, that's enough of that. They jumped up on their altar and screamed and hollered and cut themselves with knives. And Elijah said, that's a finish for that. He takes 12 stones of that altar. He puts them together, puts wood on top of it, offers an animal sacrifice. And he says, let's make sure this is true. No gimmicks here. He says, bring some water and pour it on this thing. They did it. He said, do it again. They did it. He said, do it again. They did it. They soaked that sacrifice in water. The water filled the trench around the altar. And Elijah stood back and he said, now, Father, now, God, show these people who the real God is. And fire came down and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and licked up the water in the trench. And he didn't even have to cut himself or repeat himself. And then Elijah stood up and said, how long halts you between two opinions? He said, how much longer are you going to go with the Baal worship and the God worship thing? You got a little God in this thing, you got a little Baal in this thing. He said, how long halts you between two opinions? He goes, if God is God, then worship him. And if Baal is your God and he's not, but then he said, if that's the way you're going to do it, stop going back and forth. Stop halting between two opinions of things. Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse number 24 is simply saying this. You can't have it both ways. You can't serve two masters. And the word master here is the same word for Lord. All powerful, almighty authority in my life. He says you can't serve both. And he says, and if you try it, here's what will happen. You're going to find that you're going to love one, but you're going to hate the other one. Please listen. He didn't say you're going to like them both. He says you will come to hate one and you'll come to love one. He said you'll find this. You'll come to hold on to one of them and you'll despise the other one. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Syriac word. It simply means that not only just wealth and possessions, it means the authority, the power of things that comes from wealth and that kind of junk. He says you can't serve God and you can't serve this other stuff. You got to get in. You got to get a stop trying to run it back and forth. You got to stop trying to have it both ways. And therein is the subject this morning. Very simple. You and I, 2,000 years later, we still have people today who are trying to have it both ways. You cannot serve two masters. You can't have two lords in your life. You can't have two supreme authorities in your life. You have to have one or you have to have the other. Now, in the respect of saying you need to choose which master you're going to have, that's part of this analogy here, no question. But most importantly, he's trying to teach us you can't get stuck in the middle here, where you're trying to get the best of both worlds. You're trying to have the best of both things in our lives. You can't do that because eventually what's going to happen is you're not going to have either one. You're going to settle on one or the other. You know something, dear people? I would hope today that you and I would make a very simple and clear decision. I'm not going to try and live in the middle on this thing about life. where I got a little God and I got a little Jesus. I got a little Bible. I got a little spiritual stuff. I'm sick of hearing that. I'm sick of hearing people tell me how spiritual they are. Well, they do everything the world tells them to do and then throw a little Jesus in the middle of that stuff. I'm tired of hearing that because that's what we're doing today. Too many people today are trying to serve two masters. And here's what happens. You don't stay there. You get stuck in the middle. You get to try to work the middle of this thing, but you don't stay there. You will, Jesus said, you will love one, hate one. You will hold one, you will despise one. That's why some of you today, your Christian life, you can't get it in gear. You know why? Because you're trying to live in the middle of this thing. We're trying to get in the middle of what we're supposed to be as a child of God, and we refuse to get on one side or the other side. We think we can do both and get the best of both worlds. You can't have it both ways. It just doesn't work like that. You got to make a decision this morning. You cannot serve two masters. That's first. Then you'll choose the master you're supposed to have. And I'll just simply tell you this morning, I'll take Jesus. See, Jesus is a wonderful master. He left heaven and fled to the crimson womb of Mary and set aside his rights and privileges to come to this earth, take upon himself human flesh, walk this earth for 33 homesick years, gave his life on the cross of Calvary, died paying for my sins to redeem me from hell, went to the grave, 3 days later poked a hole in sin and death and hell, stepped out of that grave very much alive, and now ever liveth to make intercession for me. No other master ever did that for me. Nobody. See, this morning there are three masters today. There's the master of self, there's the master of Satan, and there's the master of the Savior. For most people, their master is themselves. They'll decide for themselves what they're going to do. They'll decide for themselves how far they're going to get involved in something. They'll decide for themselves what they believe. They'll decide for themselves whether or not, if we preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, and the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is this, that Jesus Christ died to save sinners of whom you and I are chief, that we must be trusting Christ alone for our salvation to have salvation, and no one or nothing else could save us. That's the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And trusting him alone is what saves you. There'll be people who sit there and say, yeah, but see, that's not what I think. That's not what I believe. See, you're your own master. And yet, we're in church this morning. We're in religious activity. But we're going to decide how far we go. We're going to decide how much we obey. We're going to decide whether or not we're going to trust Christ. We're going to decide about all of this because we're still our own master. And then yet, but if you would ask, if I was to ask you, you'd say, well, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ, but look at me. But you're trying to get in the middle of this thing instead of one side or the other one, and you cannot serve two masters. So let's do something this morning. It's a very simple sermon, very simple application. I don't even know if I have points in my outline today. I just want to say this. I refuse to serve the master that was taking me to hell. I refuse. I want nothing to do with him. Whether it's self or Satan, doesn't matter. So, well, I'm not a Satan worshiper, Pastor Johnson. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Until I get saved, I belong to the devil. You know what? He wasn't doing me any good. He wasn't giving me anything in life that was beneficial for me. A few laughs, a few chuckles, and all the rest of it was going to take me straight to hell when I died. That's him. That was my master. You say, well, Pastor, were you a wicked person when you got saved? I was 9 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But I already lived under the reign of that master. I knew what he was like. I lived in a drunkard's home where they came home and beat you at night, and you had a horrible childhood. I know that master. I saw that master. I lived under his rule and his reign. He was doing nothing kind to me and nothing gracious to me. And then one day someone told me about Jesus and how God loved me and Christ died for me and I accepted him as my personal Savior. And you want to know something? I don't want to serve that old master. He was no good to me. He did not treat me kindly. Some of us today, we've gotten fooled into thinking that living both ways, living with a little bit of the world in my life or a lot of it, and some of Jesus and a little bit of church, well, I can get the serving two masters thing, and that way I can have it the way I want. And the truth is, you hate and despise the things you never thought you'd hate and despise because you're trying to have it both ways. But you know, the devil's not the worst of my opponents. Mike Johnson is. There's too much of Mike Johnson and Mike Johnson's thinking about Mike Johnson's life. And I've lived by that master too. This old hippie boy from the 60s. Oh, yeah. I really thought I was in charge of my life. I thought I was running the show. I thought I was doing what I wanted to do and living my life. I love that bumper sticker. I wish I could find it again. It said, be unique just like everybody else. That's what we thought we were. We thought we were really something special. We thought we had it all figured out, that we were going to run our own life and do our own thing. And all we were was just the run our own life, do our own thing crowd. There was a whole bunch of us like that. There was nothing unique about it. Oh, but Mike Johnson was in charge of Mike Johnson's life. And they even had, it wasn't a heathen, total heathen in my life. I mean, I believed in God. If someone asked me if I was a Christian, I'd say I was a Christian. Hey, but I was still trying to get it both ways. Enough of the world to take care of me and enough of Jesus to satisfy my spiritual nature. Oh, by the way, it didn't last. You know why? Because eventually the stuff I should be doing for Jesus was gone out of my life completely. I didn't go to church. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't talk to God or nothing. And you know something? I found a absolute disgust and despising of the things that I was raised and taught that were right. Because you can't have it both ways. No man can serve two masters. Now you want to rattle some Christian cages? Preach that one. Take that Jesus stuff right there in Matthew 6:24 and tell them about that. No, we want to go to our churches that are worldly. We want to go to our organizations that are worldly. We want to have stuff of all the world in our church and our Christianity and our living, and then somehow declare that as what it's supposed to be. I got news for you, friend. He called us to come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He called us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I'm a grace person. I believe we're under grace today. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying godliness, ungodliness, and worldliness, we should live a holy and separate life unto God. I believe in grace living. Grace living calls for holiness. It's time to get out of the middle now. Can't have it both ways. And here's the reason. Because you can't stay there. You'll hate one, you'll love the other one. You'll hold the one, you'll despise the other one. You can't have it both ways. You just can't. Well, what do you want from me, Pastor Johnson? I'm showing up at church and stuff like that. Don't you understand? I wish people would stop using me as the standard for their life. You don't have to. Hey, you show up here once a year, I'm happy that you come here. Okay? You understand that? I won't remember your name. If you come here every week, I may not remember your name. But I mean, I may not remember your name. I may know a lot about you. But look at me. I'm glad you're here. The standard is not Mike Johnson's standard. The standard is the one who loved you and gave his life for you. That's Jesus. If he's the master of your life, there's no issue here. Whatever he calls us to do, that's what we do. Whatever he says we shouldn't do, that's what we do. Because see, he's master. He's Lord. I'm his servant. He's the owner. I am his property. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's them. I want him as my master. That's it. I don't want to be in the middle. I don't want a little of this and a little bit of that. Say, well, Pastor, in this day and age today, that's just not how Christianity is understood. Well, I wasn't trying to check it by the day and age in which I lived. I'm trying to find it by this book right here. And this book tells me I'm to give my heart and my all to him. That I'm to present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Remember years ago, Brother Evans, you remember that young man, the sailor boy on the bus? I can't remember his name, but he used to sing, I'll Take Jesus. Remember that kid? Couldn't sing too well, but I'll tell you what, when that boy sang, I'll Take Jesus, tears would come to your eyes. And that sailor boy would stand up. We had a ministry working with the sailors there at Great Lakes Navy Base in North Chicago. He's one of the young men that we reached and started riding on the bus, and he's a southern kid, a black kid. And he would get up and he's saying, I'd like to sing today, I'll Take Jesus. I'll Take Jesus. I'll Take Jesus. And he'd just get off on that. I'll take Jesus. If that makes me an outcast in this world, I'll take Jesus. If that makes me unacceptable in society, I'll take Jesus. If that means the people are not going to like me because of my stand, I'll take Jesus. If that means I can't fit in every crowd I go into, I'll take Jesus. And if you do, you haven't got Christianity right, because you shouldn't fit everywhere you go. Some of you shouldn't be going to places that you go. I'll take Jesus. You cannot serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. Sorry, you can't, because you won't. You'll choose one or the other. You'll love one and hate the other one. Do you get the concept, please, this morning? He didn't say you'll like both of them a little bit. Eventually, you'll love one and hate. I don't know if you can get on any opposite ends of the spectrum there than love and hate. You'll hold on to one of them and you will not let go. It's a death grip. It's a holding on to for life, like there's nobody else but him. Or you'll despise the other one. Say, well, I don't really need that anyhow. And it starts by trying to serve two masters. Trying to settle in the middle. Now, that might work in political realms, and it may work with some kind of philosophies, but not with Christianity and not with biblical Christianity. We cannot serve. No man can serve two masters. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.